Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a myth that's very commonly heard. You've probably heard it before. You've probably heard people say this before, that there's no life after death. When we die, the lights go off, and that's really all there is. Just like I didn't really know that there was anything going on before I was born, after I die, I'm not going to recognize anything either. I'm simply just going to not exist. You've probably heard this before. It's very commonly said by secular atheists. There's no judgment, there's no heaven, there's no hell. This is what the world believes happens after death, and I'm afraid to say that probably many Christians live as if this is the case as well. This world is all that matters. The world to come doesn't really matter at all, maybe even doesn't exist. We hear these messages over and over and over again. But this is very much against what the scriptures very clearly teach. There is life after death. And that life after death is eternal. We either spend eternity with God in heaven, or we spend eternity in hell under God's torment and judgment. And it is just if we spend eternity in hell because of our sin. God's wrath is just because our sin is so offensive to the God who gives us life and every good thing. This is what 2 Corinthians 5:10 says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And some people like to argue that if we just ignore heaven and hell, if we ignore religion itself, and if we just focus on this life alone, it will help people. Maybe in what I was just saying, the words of John Lennon's Imagine were going through your head. Imagine there was no heaven or hell. Imagine there's no religion. Imagine all the people just living for today. And usually when people hear that song or hear those words, they think, wow, how wonderful. Wow, how lovely. Everybody just living for today in love. But when you peel back one layer, you see just how absolutely wicked and godless that song really is, and how wicked and godless that idea really is, that we should just be living for today and for this life alone. It's a lie that sends people to hell every day. It's a lie that tears us away from God and the eternity that He wants to have for us. And I think in reality, it doesn't even help people live a better life today. Because what's the real result when people are just living for today? What's the real result when people are just living for themselves in this life? It's always just selfishness. It's always just trying to accumulate more and more for ourselves and not really caring about anyone else or anything else. That's usually the result of people just living for today, just living for this life. It becomes a life that looks a lot like the rich man in our gospel reading. So even if John Lennon thinks that believing in heaven and hell and believing in religion isn't all that good for this life, I argue that it is. It's good for this life and it is for the life to come. Not because it just makes us feel better, because it is true. And on top of that, in this life, remembering the life to come is incredibly clarifying for you. And what I mean by that is that it shows you what's really important. It shows you what's really important in this life. Because when people are just living for today, just living for the things of this world, they focus on all kinds of different things that simply don't last. They focus on temporary pleasures. They focus on temporary riches, and they ignore the things that last for eternity. And according to the scriptures, According to God's holy and infallible word, what are the things that last? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is what lasts for eternity. You last for eternity. You are an eternal being to spend life eternal with God in heaven forever or to eternally be spent in torment. And if that's the case for you, that's also the case for everybody else around you. So if you can look into somebody else's eyes that's sitting next to you and see an eternal being, you're seeing somebody that will last. You're seeing somebody that will be in heaven with you forever. So how is this clarifying for our life? How does this show us what's really important? The things that are important in this life are the things that last, and the things that last for eternity. The Word of God, the Christian faith, and each other. And that's a pretty good summary of what Jesus says when he says the summary of the law is to love God and love your neighbor. It's really what the whole Christian life is, to cling to God in faith, hear his word, and then because we believe in God, we also love those who are around us. You love your friends, your neighbors, your church family, your family. These are the things that matter. These are the things that last. Not these temporary pleasures, not these temporary riches that just go away. They go away in this life, honestly, and they certainly go away when we die. Can't take them with us in the life to come. So that's the message that our text has for us today from Luke chapter 16. Don't just live for today, but live for eternity. Don't just live for today, but live for eternity. Live for eternity that is spent with Christ in heaven forever. And this is exactly what Jesus is illustrating with this story of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus said, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Based off of this alone, and if you were thinking about just this world, who would you rather be? Do you want to be the guy feasting every day, wearing the fine clothes, or do you want to be the guy laid at somebody's gate, begging for scraps, covered with sores that even the dogs are licking? It really seems like Jesus is piling up all the negative things about Lazarus' life to make us just realize how poor, how pitiful he was. Who would you rather be if you were just thinking about this life? Obviously the rich man. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to go through all of these things in this life that Lazarus went through. But then when we think beyond this world, when we think beyond just this life, who would you rather be? This is what we hear about what happens to them in the life to come. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from here to us. When we think about eternity, life beyond just this world, who would you rather be? Obviously, you want to be Lazarus, comforted in heaven forever, not the rich man, tormented in hell forever. And Jesus' story here tells us some very important truths. One, which we all know very clearly from the scriptures, there is a life after death. And you will either spend eternity in heaven or hell. The second very important truth that this teaches us is that you cannot take your earthly possessions with you into heaven. We spend all of our lives trying to accumulate stuff, accumulate money, as if we could take it with us wherever we go after death. But that's simply not the case. When you die, that's all you have. Naked I entered this world, naked I will go from this world. I can't take anything with me. And then the third thing we should recognize is that the life to come is eternal, while the life that we have here and now is only temporary. This life here and now will end at some point. The life to come never ends. Abraham reminded the rich man, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." And that makes us very firmly realize that the things of eternity are greater than the things of this world. The things of eternity are more important than the things of this world. The things that endure to eternity that we talked about before, Christ's word, his faith, and our eternal souls, these things are more important than just the things of this world that go away. So how are these two men different? Why does Lazarus go to heaven? Why does the rich man go to hell? We know how they were different here on earth. The rich man had all kinds of stuff. He feasted sumptuously day after day. Lazarus had nothing. He was poor. He begged. He even had sores covering his whole body. But how were they different in faith? Lazarus, though he was poor of the things of this world, was rich toward faith in God. He trusted in God and looked at him as the giver of all good things, and above all, he looked at him as his Savior, the one who would give him the forgiveness of sins and life forever. That's what Lazarus believed, and that's why he goes to heaven. The rich man did not have faith. The rich man did not look to God as his Savior, did not look to God for the forgiveness of his sins, and that is why he went to hell. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So we can be confident that the main defining factor between the rich man and between Lazarus was that Lazarus had faith in God and therefore went to heaven because he had faith in God, and the rich man did not have faith in God, and the rich man was condemned because he did not have faith in God. So we can know that no matter what we have in this life, faith in God and God's word are the most important things. Whether we have a lot, like the rich man, or whether we have a little and we suffer greatly, like Lazarus, we must cling to faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That is your only hope in this life. That is your salvation in this life and for the life to come. And what often happens to us in this life when we have a lot, when we have a lot of riches, when we have a lot of things or a lot of influence? We start telling ourselves the lie that we don't need God. I've got enough stuff, so I don't need God. Maybe that's what happened to the rich man. Maybe his riches allowed him to tell himself that he didn't need to have faith in God because he already had it all for himself. Don't let your riches make you think that you don't need God, because this turns your back on the giver and takes you away from him forever. Maybe Lazarus' suffering also made him think that Lazarus' suffering didn't make him think that God had abandoned him, but Lazarus' suffering drew him to trust in God all the more. So even if you suffer in this life or you have little, do not make it think that God has abandoned you, but rather use that so that you trust in God's promises above all things. So whether you have a lot or a little, trust in God's promises above all things. Because everything of this life will fade. Riches will fade. Even the suffering of this life will go away. But God's word and his salvation endures forever. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:24. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Throughout this life, cling to the faith in Christ and cling to his word above all. That's exactly what Abraham was telling the rich man. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. The rich man was pleading, send Lazarus back. If they see this great sign, if they see this great miracle, then they'll repent and believe. How does Abraham respond? No, they won't. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't even hear if somebody rises from the dead. In this life, everybody's always thinking that if they just had that one more great miracle, that one more great sign, that one more fantastic argument, then I could finally believe in God. But that's simply not how it works. Once you receive that one thing that you promised was going to be the one last thing, what are you always looking for? One thing more. You have the scriptures. You have Moses and the prophets, and you have the gospel, how Jesus fulfilled Moses and the prophets, and the Holy Spirit works through these words to create faith in you, to create trust in you. That's what St. Paul says in Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, if you hear his voice, believe in him and trust in him. Don't just say, I'll get serious about religion in the future. Don't just say, I'll get serious about faith in Christ when I'm on my deathbed. No, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, but believe. Believe in him and trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Because he promises to save you for eternity. He gave his life for your life. He shed his blood to forgive each and every one of your sins. And when you trust in him, he promises to give you that life forever, so that you might be comforted from all your afflictions in this life, so that you will be with him in righteousness and purity and comfort and glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.